listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. My guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com, and we will take your calls and comments at 877-488-5350 after the next break. Okay, so I just wouldn't jump out of a window.
Yeah, well, he's writing on Forrestal. This is the general outlines of the official story, just suicide. And except that he doesn't exactly say he was depressed. He just, but he implies that it must have been. Of course, why did anybody commit suicide? It has to be for some psychological reason. But if there was a reason, it was because of this vilification he received over his opposition to Israel. In fact, he even states that he resigned so he wouldn't embarrass Truman, who had recognized Israel. Well, no, he didn't voluntarily resign. He was sacked by Truman.
Right.
I mean, even that's, you know, that's just gratuitously false to say that he had resigned to save Truman the embarrassment.
So basically, Trohan, you say that he was wrong about, several things. And so I suppose that's true with a lot of people, that you just have to know the facts yourself and not accept anybody as an authority unless they can back up what they say and that you can go to the same source and verify it. So I think it's important that we become critical thinkers and critical readers.
And this man is supposed to be a reporter. It's his job to get the basic facts right. And he's a reporter about a guy he calls not just a friend, but a close friend. Where's his curiosity? He just seems to not have any interest even in what happened to Forrestal. It's unbelievable. Well, it is unbelievable because you shouldn't believe it.
But he's not
telling you what he really believes. In fact, it's so bad, his reporting on what happened to Forrestal, I just conjecture at the end that maybe he's like somebody who's been asked to, a hostage, who's been asked to read or to make a statement about how good my captors are and why they're right and you need to listen to them. Peppers it with things that let you know that he doesn't really believe it. The captor's not going to recognize.
Was a good friend, then I suppose him giving the story, the official version, gave credibility for those people who are gullible.
Yeah, but maybe there's a two-tier message. So those people who really know what's going on, I'm just conjecturing here that Trohan is signaling to them, look, I don't believe this baloney. It's all malarkey. but I'm going to give what looks like the official version, but I'm going to make it so fantastic with just really crazy things, which my editors won't recognize, but you will.
Okay.
You'll know that I don't believe what I'm writing.
Right.
So I think that's possible, and maybe there's a key to it by looking at the subtitle of his book. It's called Political Animals, Memoirs of a Sentimental Cynic.
Ah, cynic is a key word there.
Totally cynical. Cynical. Well,
Dave, we do need to cut to a break, and then when we come back, we can take some calls, and we'll pick this up on the other side. Be right back.
meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com, and it's we will take calls at 877-488-5350. Okay.
Are you waiting for a caller?
No.
No caller yet?
Nope, no callers. Let me look here. Nope, no callers.
Oh, well, you know, I was just thinking about Trohan and his captivity up there at the heart of darkness in the National Press Club. It put me in mind of the last verse of my literary toast poem.
Oh, why don't you give us a poem?
I have to do all three verses. I may have done it before, but it's so much fun to do. It's one I've got pretty thoroughly in my memory. Let's hear it for our propagandists, the people who bring us the news, unencumbered by troublesome scruples. They're proud of their compromised views. There once was a time we admired them. We thought they were principal fighters. But what we see now is more worthy of the Union of Soviet Writers. That they should be liberty's guardians is truly a shame and a pity. These shills and these flacks, these stooges and hacks, these sold-out scribes who report on the tribes who rule from our capital city. Let's hear it for news commentators, those masters of punditry, who share with us all their opinions, wide-ranging from A down to B. standing right there in the spotlight. They could do some significant things, but we'd sooner expect wooden puppets to dance without handles or strings. Now here's for Trohan. Let's hear it for all those reporters who learn how the contest is played. If they will just write what's expected, they can be handsomely paid. But most garner practically nothing and eventually fall off the ladder. The losers depart mostly wiser, while the winners grow gradually sadder. Let's hear it for all those survivors whose road to the top is not pretty. These shills and these flacks, these stooges and hacks, these sold-out scribes who report on the tribes who rule from our capital city.
Very profound.
I once recited that to a former reporter. In fact, she was a news anchor at a TV station in Philadelphia. And I met her while on a pilgrimage, a church pilgrimage in Italy. She was in our group. And she nodded her head in agreement with every line of the poem. You know, so you nailed it. You know, that's how it is.
That is so interesting that people do what they do simply for money, and they have to abandon all their values and principles.
Yeah.
I just, that is amazing to me that they do it willingly and don't think anything about it, apparently.
I wonder when the discovery, when it hits in, you know. I mean, you think of these idealistic young people, you know. You want to go into journalism because you're interested in public policy. You're interested in finding the truth of things. And then you find out what you are not allowed to write. You know, find out, you know, what really. I was just watching a woman interviewed on the Russian television who had worked for CNN, I think, trying to report on, a filmmaker trying to report on the reality in Bahrain, our big ally there. And she'd done a complete movie, and they never, I mean, a documentary, and they never showed it. And she since left CNN.
Right.
But she has nobody she can turn to.
Well, it just shows you exactly what the objectives are of most of these people is just to earn a living, make good money, and it doesn't matter if they tell the truth or not. Now, it's interesting, you know, we never hear about the attack on the Philippines immediately after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And yet it was very significant. And this occurred basically the next day on December 8, 1941. And Douglas MacArthur was there. He'd been recalled to service. He was there. And he radio-tracked the progress of the Japanese planes as they approached the Philippines. He acknowledged them at 140, 100, 80, 60, all the way down to 20 miles away from their target. Then he gave an order to respond. But, of course, by then it was too late. When Japan's bombers appeared over Luzon, MacArthur's fighters were purportedly unable to find the enemy's planes.
Uh-huh.
Now, Hart, who was in charge of the ships, had sent almost two dozen submarines away from the island. And so, basically, they just gave up the islands. It was almost as if they planned it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly Kimmel and Short were not the only ones who were left out of the loop.
Okay.
I mean, we wanted this outrage. We wanted to. And the men, to think of the people who ended up on the Bataan Death March, I mean, they're like the people who were on the Twin Towers in Manhattan. They were pawns to be sacrificed.
Exactly. All righty, we do have some callers lining up. Let's take Lark. Let's take Lark in Texas. Lark, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Deanna. Hello, Dave.
How you doing?
Enjoyed your poem, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Forgive me for calling Deanna, but I wasn't sure that I caught the answer to the email question regarding if you, Dave, had any correspondence or shared your findings with Admiral Kimmel's grandson.
Well, I think the Kimmel family is well aware of this corruption and that it was a lie. And they've had several investigations. And Congress simply refuses to act upon what they've been told.
Well, I guess what I'm interested in is setting the historical record straight. Because I think much of what has happened in our world today can be traced directly to what occurred with this so-called false flag event of Pearl Harbor and our entry into World War II.
Mm-hmm.
It shaped two or three generations or more of Americans today, this entire event. This is why I think the setting the historical record straight is so important. That's why I posed the question, because I still think that Dave has findings, others have findings, that, and I'm sure probably Admiral Kimmel's grandson has findings. But I find this is so true often today that serious researchers don't share their findings in real time so that this historical record can be challenged seriously and then even set straight.
You know, I think it's all a matter of power. It's where the power lies, as I've talked about. How does the truth, you know, who are the opinion molders in the country? Who sets the, who determines what the historical record is? It's, you know, the historians, who do the historians work for? Well, they got to get books printed. Well, they got to go through a publishing company. As I point out in my article, the Trohan, he wanted a major publisher to take his book, and he got Doubleday. You don't get much better than that, and he wants to get it publicized. So you need a major publisher if it's going to be publicized. And so he may have written as far as he thought he could get by with, and he went as far as he could go on the Pearl Harbor, and which was a lot farther than he went on Forrestal. On Forrestal, he didn't go anywhere except maybe read it between the lines, where he's telling you obviously false things, letting you know that, look, I know better. And then you got the historians in the academia. They want to get professional papers published. They want to get promoted, and they want to... And you don't do it if you look at what happened to the most illustrious historian in the country. He got just blackballed, Charles Beard, for writing the truth about Pearl Harbor. If they can do that to Charles Beard, what can they do to fledgling young historian? And of course, it's far, far worse when it comes to the Forrestal matter.
Well, it seems to me, and maybe you can just chime in on this and I'll let you go.
Okay.
That we've got now generations of Americans who are willingly trading away the days and years of their lives for company script,
yeah,
which is completely monopolized and controlled,
huh,
as to the issuance of that company script and something called credit,
mm-hmm,
by 12 Jewish banking families, most of whom were centered in Europe, and now they're on the verge of taking complete control of the entire world and of our futures.
Mm. Well, then maybe we'll start getting right. Things have got to get a lot worse before they get better. I've said that for a long time, and maybe
when Americans realize they've lost their right to own property,
yeah,
and all that that entails, they'll realize they've been enslaved.
It's hard.
Appreciate
to have
it.
But yeah, okay. Nice talking to you.
You bet.
Thanks, Lark. All righty, we do have to go to a break, and when we get back, we'll take Richard in Montreal. Be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates, and I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And we have Richard from Montreal. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna.
Hi, we haven't talked to you for a long time.
Yes, I've been busy. I've got something that may be related to the Pearl Harbor story. I stumbled on something some time ago, and I've lost the reference to it. Maybe Dave can help me reconstruct it. The big struggle in the 30s was going on in between China and Japan and the Communist Party. And they were fighting, and the Japanese seemed to be winning. And they struck an accommodation with the Chinese to negotiate a friendship or peace treaty in, 38 or 39 or sometime. And so it seemed like the Chinese nationalists were ready to make peace with the Japanese. So they had an agreement to meet and sign this treaty. Well, on the way to the meeting, somebody intercepted the Japanese peace ambassadors and killed them. And they said it was a group of Chinese. Well, the story that I've stumbled on is that the group that killed the Japanese peace ambassadors were Americans dressed up as Chinese. Is that possible? And the effect of that was the Japanese were so outraged at the betrayal that they plastered the city of Nanking and killed, just raped the city. And that becomes the famous Rape of Nanking in American history. And, of course, sets the Japanese up as perfidious, merciless aggressors. Anyway, I'd never heard of an American undercover group working from the military and active in things like killing ambassadors in the 1930s.
That's what the CIA... Oh, in the 30s, yeah, they didn't... I don't think they started doing it formally until they created the OSS, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, anyway, let me weigh in a little bit on that. I think the bottom line in our Far East policy throughout the Roosevelt administration was really whatever in the long term would benefit the communists the most. And Joe McCarthy was absolutely on to something, that he was completely right. I need to look in. There's a ring of truth to that, I think.
Yeah, it sounds plausible.
Yeah. Recommend a read on my website an article of February the 7th of this year entitled The Institute of Pacific Relations and the Betrayal of China.
Wow.
It is the Senate testimony of the longtime businessman with dealings in China by the name of Alfred Kohlberg.
Oh, yes.
Who was an important informant to Joe McCarthy. Read his Senate testimony. And you see, the Institute of Pacific Relations, thoroughly communist organization, just completely controlled American government policy toward China throughout the 30s, and it was a communist front.
But didn't Rockefeller fund that?
Yes. Yes, indeed. The major funder was the Rockefeller Foundation of the IPR.
Mm-hmm. Henry Luce was a real China aficionado during that same period.
Uh-huh.
And he was an advocate of the Suong sisters. One sister married Chiang Kai-shek, another sister married Mao, I think.
Another sister,
and married somebody else of great financial consequence. It's a famous, just a remarkable family. But
the Soon sisters?
Yes.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And their financial connection to New York and Wall Street goes really deep and distant. And so the Rape of Nanking is... it seemed, when I first heard about it, it seemed fairly implausible.
The conspiracy-minded that I am, you know what happened to the young Chinese-American woman who wrote that book on the Rape of Nanking?
She was murdered.
Well, they say she committed suicide, huh?
Nah, she was murdered.
Well, maybe she was on to this story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, I thought it was such a twist to Japanese-Chinese-U.S. relations that it probably should be given some airing if it's any fact there at all.
Mm. That's something to look into.
Well, thank you, Richard.
Okay, thank you, Deanna.
All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And I believe we have another caller. Let's take Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
DCDave.com. That was one of the questions I had, and you answered it right then. I hate to go back an hour, but you were talking about somebody who was a journalist that was investigating 9/11 or something, and she fell dead on a sidewalk without any explanation. I never did catch the name.
Okay, that no, I don't. I'm just speculating. We're talking about the powerful publisher of the Washington Post, Katherine Graham.
Oh,
read my article about that, which was the previous one to the one I just did. Hold on a second here. Nobody witnessed her fall. Yeah, that's the most amazing thing.
Somebody comes upon her, and there she is, unresponsive on the sidewalk.
Well, they don't say who came upon her either.
Huh.
She just dead, you know. Well, so she was mortally wounded, and they took her to the hospital. And, you know, I wrote a poem that leads off of the article poses the question, was Katherine Graham killed for 9/11? And I've written a poem. I hardly recommend, and you write me about it, see what you find. It's called R.I.P. KMG, Rest in Peace, Katherine Meyer Graham. A powerful publisher had a great fall. Did anyone see it? No one can recall. Maybe those who exposed all the president's men will tell us in time but no one can say when.
Yeah.
And they still haven't said, well, who saw it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's just truly amazing that, and I posed the question on Usenet back when I was pretty active on some of the discussion groups, and I got vilification, people, conspiracy theorists and all this. I didn't,
sure.
Look, I just asked a simple question.
Uh-huh.
Who witnessed the fall?
Yeah. Why isn't it in the report? You know, you'd think you'd see something in there about officer so-and-so was called to the scene.
Just routine.
Witness
routine.
Says, yeah. Witness stated.
It is truly amazing in this land of our free press. And she was a newspaper publisher of all things.
Well, a lot of stuff gets left out anymore. It was basic. You know, it used to be basic. Who, what, when, why, where, and how. You know, you write in an inverted pyramid style. You put the most important facts at the top of the story. But if they didn't tell how she was found, and that's just basic bad journalism and reeks of cover-up. I mean, you know.
It absolutely reeks of
but another thing I was going to talk about was it's a murky field that we deal in here, and it's like darned if you do, darned if you don't, because last hour you're talking about Channel 12 out of Colorado, the PBS station, and I consider that a heck of a breakthrough, and part of the reason that it happened is because the public media's funding is being cut. So when I covered that a little bit on my blogging, I said that I said this is how desperate public television is getting. They've took up with a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist. But the thing is, it was right there on their web page I think they changed their logo around a little bit, because when you first went to that, it looked like it was the main PBS page.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of public television networks across the country are set up differently.
Uh-huh.
Some states have a network of public television stations, like we here in Kentucky have Kentucky Educational Television.
Uh-huh.
And until recent years, we had one independent station in Louisville. But now, apparently in Colorado, they don't have a network. They have all independent PBS stations.
So this was just one independent
station. Took up with that group as a fundraiser. Now, I think that Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth has a lot of credible material and questions, and I consider that a breakthrough. I do think we need to question what we see, but I think I think that's the forces at work here. Is that station was desperate to raise money, and I bet you they did raise money, because it went like a firestorm across the country.
And if really our media were doing what they say they're doing, they wouldn't be going out of business either. I mean, this was selling newspapers.
Yeah, well, it's like that the guy that spoke at the press club a couple of weeks ago, the dreams of my father.
Patrick Klassen.
Yeah, he said that. He said, you guys take the material that I've got here, and you got to pull it for a prize.
It wasn't Patrick. It was Joel. His name?
Director.
Patrick Klassen.
The director.
No,
of the film.
No, it wasn't Patrick. It was Joel that made the film, The Dreams of My Real Father.
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about?
I see.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about. He decided.
Is that Joel Gilbert?
I don't know about that.
He's Jewish. I mean, he's obviously Jewish, but they're attacking Obama, and it looks like to me that he must have had access to some of the files the CIA has on Obama.
Yeah.
So they're helping him, because he's done something to tick them off, and I think they're worried about him because any second term president starts to worry about how history's going to see them, and they get more ideological, and they don't have to worry about being reelected, so they're a little more unpredictable. I think they're worried about that with Obama.
Maybe, although the last two didn't slip the traces very much.
Well, Reagan knew that he could be shot again.
Yeah, but what about George W. and Bill Clinton? They pretty well towed the line their second
term. I don't know.
Term.
He did a Bill Clinton did a lot of cross the aisle stuff, and he robbed the Social Security Trust Fund to make his budget look balanced. Congress had to be in on that. You know, they couldn't have done that without a lot of cooperation. There was a deal in the works with Clinton from the word go, I think, because he was, you know, he was went right along with Bush on all the MENA Arkansas stuff. So not surprised about Clinton being, you know, in their pocket. But
on this matter of keeping them in line, I have another four-liner called Presidential Qualifications. It goes, the first man's resume should be unassailable, but that'll be the day he wouldn't be blackmailable.
Oh, you wouldn't be blackmailable. That's hilarious, man.
You know,
thanks for taking my call.
You don't want a guy in there. They don't want a guy in there who's not blackmailable.
No, they got to have strings attached, and they can always. I think they can fabricate stuff if they get somebody too much of a Boy Scout. You know, the people would believe a lot. I think that's manufactured.
Yeah, well, that's true, but it's a little more difficult, at least.
Well, now they can hack into a computer and plant kiddie porn, and people would believe it. You know,
yeah.
That happened to a mayor up the road here a couple
years
ago.
Is that right?
And you don't know whether they really are a pedophile or whether they've been took out by an op.
Well, that's the ultimate, a pedophile. My goodness, they can plant that on almost anybody.
You don't.
Right.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Nice
Thanks,
talking
Mike.
To you.
All righty, let's take Maurice in Georgia. Maurice, welcome to the program.
Hi. I was just wanting to add my two cents about the screening of the 9/11 video on the PBS. I am in agreement with Deanna in that I think that that alternative official story of bombs in the building is a distraction. And I make my case by reporting on, I went to a screening here in Atlanta of that film, you know, public thing with Bill Bob Gates or whatever the guy's name is, the head of that organization, the engineers. And, they had a
Richard
question
Gage.
And answer. Yeah, Richard Gage, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
At the end of the thing, and I got up to just, you know, voice some observations, since most of what this is coming from is Dr. Judy Wood's research.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just made the observation that there was no debris that day, you know, which is verifiable just by looking at the pictures for yourself. And what happened is that they literally took the mic out of my hand as I brought this up. Yeah.
And there was no seismic evidence, you know, just a whole lot of things that would totally discredit controlled demolition or bombs in the building.
Yeah, and so I'm actually just doing this as a echo of Dr. Judy Wood's work. If you haven't looked into it, I would entice you to do that. Because I also think that it's a way to try and find out who is some real perpetrators there, because of her lawsuit that she implemented to, you know, against NIST and the researchers, because they obviously know who was behind the thing, I think.
And she went all the way to the Supreme Court with it, and so I've had her on the program several times. Have her book.
Yeah, but you know, if those buildings had never fallen at all and just had burned normally, we still got a real problem.
Steel
doesn't
burn.
Story.
Yeah, steel doesn't burn at 800 degrees. You have to have 2,700 degrees. And fuel, or the fuel from the airplanes, don't generate that hot of a temperature. And most of the fire was outside of the building. Besides, you have the fire in the North Tower in 1975.
Buildings, they have very strong central core beams to hold them up. And they don't just collapse like that. It just doesn't happen.
Did you,
huh?
Did you hear the comment from some of the firemen or rescue people that were survived the collapse of, you know, I forget which tower, but they were in a stairwell, and, you know, it was a remnant or so of a story or so that they were in, and they came out, and according to, you know, what I see in Dr. Judy Wood's book, the quote is, it was like coming out onto an empty football field. And before, there was a 110-story building above.
Mm.
So, I mean, that that comment there by
that
somebody
happen.
Who's there.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, and if it's true, then you think about the degree of how it's like a magic act to the nth degree, you know, for on done to all of us, you know.
So. Sure.
Yeah.
All righty, Maurice, thank you very much for your phone call.
Yeah.
All righty.
I want to interject something about the grandchildren of Kimmel. You know, on the Forrestal case, actually, James Forrestal has one surviving grandchild. Her name is Francesca Forrestal. You can find her on the internet. She definitely never knew him. Her father died, I think, when her mother was pregnant with him. It's Peter Forrestal, who had his mother's drinking problem and died fairly young. And they only had the one child, and she was either an infant or not yet born when he died. And she's in her late 20s now, I think. She's a rather prominent horsewoman. You know, she inherited all of that money. You know, Forrestal was really rich. And I have emailed her and got no response. She's too comfortable. I mean, he's like an ancestor as opposed to anybody that she knew and cares about, I guess. And she's not interested, apparently. Francesca Forrestal.
Wow.
Blood is not thicker than water, apparently.
I guess not. I guess not.
So there's, in that case, she's doing nothing to salvage his name as a person who was not some weakling who killed himself. But
That is amazing to me. Now, didn't he have two boys?
Michael and Peter. Michael was an important advisor to John Kennedy in the Kennedy administration. His name pops up a lot with things having to do with the Pentagon Papers. And anyway, he never had I don't think he got married even, and had no children, and died fairly young of a heart attack, supposedly. I think he was something of a dissenter from our escalation in Vietnam, too. You'll find his name Googling Michael Forrestal in Vietnam. He was the sensible one of the two, and Peter was had a drinking problem, psychological problems, I think. But he's the only one that had a child. So that's the story of what happened to them. There's another little sidelight of that, too. When I got the Wilcox report, the official investigation, all the photographs, except a few they held back, the photographs of Forrestal's body, they said that was out of concern for the feelings of the surviving family. Well, but they said that I could register a protest. I had so many days to do it, and so I wrote back before the deadline and told them that, well, you know, there weren't any surviving loved ones, and the one that's surviving is more like a descendant rather than a surviving loved one, because she never knew the guy. It's like my objecting to pictures of my great-grandfather, the Civil War veteran. You know? And anyway, so they wrote back and said, our first correspondence, we were mistaken. Those photographs have been lost. Forget about our rationale for not sharing in the first place. They've been lost. Would you believe? So there.
Interesting. It is also interesting about some of the children of some of these elite people that
like
somehow
Foster's
they
kids.
They seem to go against what their parents stood for, and actually join the perpetrators.
You were thinking of let's see, Hale Boggs' daughter.
Actually, I was thinking of Abraham Lincoln. Which
oh,
we can
really?
Get back to. Yeah. Okay, we do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented complement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com, and we do have Tim in New York. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have some very important information to share with you.
Okay.
Okay, so my cousin living in Michigan has a friend who basically worked for the upper levels of DHS, and he was recently told by his high-level DHS advisor that military equipment was quietly being moved out of the Selfridge ANG, the Air National Guard base, under the cover of night. And according to his sources, this was in anticipation of a major event to occur either in the second or third week of October. He's told that this equipment will be used for crowd control and extra security measures after the event has occurred. And in his final words, he says something like, oh, be prepared for all hell to break loose once this happens. It's going to spread like wildfire. So I don't know about this. I'm sorry. This country's over.
Dave, your comments?
I had difficulty understanding. This is about something that's going to happen in October?
Yeah, the second or third week of October. That's what I was informed.
Well, who informed you, Tim?
So basically, my cousin's brother informed me, and he worked for the upper levels of DHS.
What upper levels?
He works as a manager, DHS manager.
Have you reported this to your local newspaper?
No, not yet, but I might. I'm sure that'd be a great idea because everyone needs to be aware of what's going to happen. But this is some very serious information, and right now I'm like very scared. So I don't know.
And why are you telling us about this?
Because it's very important. Basically, something like an economic collapse could happen on the second or third week, or some major false flag event. That's what I'm being told.
Oh, okay. Well, we've been told a lot of things like that. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. But Dave, you have any thoughts on this?
Nope. I just don't know. I don't know what to think of it.
Okay. Well, Tim, thanks for your phone call.
Okay, no problem.
All righty. Okay. We were talking before we went to the break about. Some of the children of some of the elites seem to join the enemy, the so-called enemy, after the fact. Mm-hmm. And I think we can say this about Abraham Lincoln's son. He did not go to the theater that night. And one of his sons died as a child. And I'm just scrolling down here to pick up the names here. Anyway, he didn't go to the theater, and he's put his mother into a what would now be known as a nursing home, and actually probably spent all of her money, and got a job afterwards with some of the same people that were accused of planning the assassination. Mm. And he became part of the we've run out of time. Well, thank you for being on the program today. This has been lovely, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much. Bye bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.